Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're glad you could be with us for this segment. We've got Scott Bennett with us, and if you haven't heard him before, you're in for a real experience because he's touched the upper levels of intelligence in this country, still continues to provide great insights, which we're going to do in this particular hour. Anyway, we're glad you could be with us, but we want to also acknowledge the people that make it possible for you to be with us. We're brought to you in part by Noble Gold. Noble Gold, converting your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. And with a $22 trillion debt and all the other economic challenges we face, do you really want to take the chance you're going to wake up, go to the bank, and nothing's going to be there? Of course not. Give the good people at Noble Gold a call. Talk to them about what you can do to protect your assets, including your pensions. No obligation phone call. Tell them I sent you for the royal treatment. The number to call, 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Also want to give a shout out to Bob Griswold for his great support of our program. He owns Ready Made Resources. I call him King Prepper. Everything that you want, communications, night vision, you name it, he's got it. And he does one thing that I don't know if anybody else does. He'll consult with you for free about where you're at and what you need to do. How do you get a hold of Bob? Well, first, see what he's got to offer. Go to readymaderesources.com. Look at what he's got there on screen. It's all displayed. It's fantastic stuff. And then give him a call. And you'll talk to the man personally. He's absolutely incredible. readymaderesources.com. Well, Scott Bennett really needs no introduction, but I know we've touched a lot of new areas with our audience reach, particularly as we've moved into Megaphone, Red State Talk Radio, and so forth. So we want to make sure that people have a good idea who Scott is. So, Scott, I want to welcome you to the show and take a couple minutes and just tell people about your impressive and extensive background really qualifies you to talk about some of the highest matters of intelligence in our country.
Well, Dave, it's good to be with you as always, and I appreciate it. Just as a nutshell of who I am, I joined the Bush administration in 2003 to 2008. Mm-hmm. And before that, I worked at the Heritage Foundation as a social science fellow. And after the Bush administration, I left and went into Booz Allen Hamilton in defense contracting, counterterrorism. I was a State Department contractor. I was given a direct commission of the Army to go into psychological warfare. My background had been in advertising and film production, and I did a little bit of that at Heritage and HHS, doing Islamic communication through economic development programs and things like that. And in 2008, 9, 10, I was in Booz Allen Hamilton at Special Operations Command, State Department Coordinator for Counterterrorism under General Del Daley, and then I was assigned to U.S. Central Command at Terrorist Financing. And Terrorist Financing was really where I cut my teeth on discovering the deep state crimes that Hillary Clinton was involved with, as well as partnering with Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Loretta Lynch, all the usual suspects that you see bouncing around the pinball machine now. I discovered back in my days of Terrorist Financing, and then since then, really, the enormous fraud and shell game, and that's the title of the book that I wrote and I submitted to Congress as a military whistleblowing report, shell game, the Saudi Arabian Clinton Foundation pay-to-play operations that involves Union Bank of Switzerland, whistleblower Brad Birkenfeld, Edward Snowden, who had worked with me at Booz Allen Hamilton prior, and WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. So all of this was compiled into a military whistleblowing report when I discovered Brad Birkenfeld and 19,000 bank accounts and hundreds of millions of dollars that Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama and a law firm called Covington and Burling, which now ironically represents General Michael Flynn, I think much to his ignorance of their deeper deep state connections. All of this was put into a report and sent, and absolutely no one in the Pentagon, no one in the military, no one in the Congress did anything about it. And I was imprisoned by the Obama administration for 2.5 years for allegedly making a false statement on a housing form I filled out when I was on a military base. And, you know, I didn't realize the deep state is what it really was and how deep and ugly it really was until they came after me for telling the truth. And I would encourage people to go to shellgamewhistleblower.com and just Google Shell Game Scott Bennett, or go to lulu.com and get the report Shell Game. And you'll see with your own eyes the documentation. Nothing's classified, but everything is documented. Everything is the original typewriter format that I submitted these reports on about all of the money that was being used for mercenary black operations in Syria and Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan and Ukraine and everywhere in between. So it sort of launched me into this trajectory of exposing deep state crimes. And as a result, I also shared it with Michael Cohen. I shared it with so many different media outlets, too. Press TV, RT, Sputnik. No one in the West, no one in the Western media would touch it. Red State Radio and the alternative media and the conservative circle certainly did, as well as a variety of other more kind of libertarian ones. But everyone is terrified of the report because it shows in black and white that the entire Middle East war juggernaut has been financed for un-American destructive activities, and it's just a matter of time before they're prosecuted. So we've shared it with the president, and I've sat down with congressmen and explained it, Mark DeSaulnier and Senator Dianne Feinstein and all these people, but they run from it. So it really showed me the depth of depravity that we have in our political leadership, and I'm hoping President Trump, of course, is going to rise up and use this as his jawbone of an ass, if you will, and slay the 1,000 Philistines who were encircled on Capitol Hill, starting with people like Senator Feinstein and leading all the way up to anyone and everyone who refuses to look at this report, refuses to do anything in exchange for their allegiance to the military-industrial complex and the big bags of cash that they get for their campaigns. So this to me was a dividing report that separates the sheep and the goats, the patriots from the parasites. And I would just encourage people to get the report and read it themselves.
This is a fascinating, I mean, what a background. Usually when you ask someone for a background statement, you get about 30 seconds. Here, we got news reports and stuff that I'm sure a lot of people have never heard about. This is absolutely fantastic stuff. You know, one thing I want to just bridge into real quickly, since you kind of broached the subject of Hillary Clinton's criminal activities.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the statement that she and John McCain are largely responsible for the rise of ISIS?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. When I met with the whistleblower Brad Birkenfeld, and Brad told me the whole story about bringing these. He told me such a story you couldn't make it up, and it was fascinating because it's where Edward Snowden intertwined with Brad in Switzerland. Edward Snowden was a CIA agent before he joined Booz Allen Hamilton. I knew him from Cyber Command in Hawaii, but Snowden had targeted Brad Birkenfeld because he was the Swiss banker that the CIA wanted to get a hold of, and the CIA had got him into a DUI and then got him out, flashed his badge, and Brad told me the story. That was exactly the story I debriefed Oliver Stone about, which he put into his movie, Snowden. So there's overlap in ways you couldn't make up that would blow people's minds away, except I think the alternative media and the people who listen to your show, Dave, are probably the smartest people that can handle this sort of material. They've already got an instinct and an inkling that there's massive corruption and you can't believe what you see. And when you probe into these areas, you really see this. So when I started probing and debriefing Birkenfeld, I saw very clearly the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton's role as State Department secretary, working in the area that I worked in State Department coordinator for counterterrorism. And Brad showed me the cables that WikiLeaks had sent him that showed very clearly Hillary Clinton responsible for Swiss bank secret funds, secret monies that the Saudis had, that the Qataris had, that the United Arab Emirates had. The Mauritanians, everyone was in this pay-to-play, merry-go-round. And Hillary Clinton was working with John McCain and these other neocons on the Hill to go into Libya. And it was part of this large Arab Spring operation that they were unleashing like a hurricane full of glass, metal, and shards of bone that we've seen subsequently go up into Europe and totally destabilize Europe, totally rape, pillage, and begin to devour and cannibalize Europe. And that's why Europe is going, I think, in the direction of Russia, because they're beginning to see the right-wing groups, you know, standing up and putting down a lot of this migrant invasion stuff. But the party's responsible was Hillary Clinton, as well as their beta male and female subordinates, Victoria Nuland and John Kerry later on, and Barack Obama, and what they did to Ukraine, what they did to Libya, what they did to Syria was all part of the shell game of terrorist financing that Saudi Arabia was 100% responsible for. And it still is responsible for it. And it's, you know, I realize we're tied with a lot of the oil, but those days are changing. There's a lot of smart economists like Chris Treat and others who have articulated the emerging U.S. power in natural gas and energy. And we have to recognize that there comes a time where we have to get off the juggernaut of war in order to sort of fan the flames of peace, in order to clear the smoke so that we can then trajectorize where we go in the next 100 years. Right now, we're like a kamikaze plane that's full of fire and smoke, and we can't see where we're driving at. We're about to crash into a mountain called Russia, China, Iran, Turkey, Syria, and several other European countries that are going to stand up and say no more. We're not letting any more regime changes occur in the European Asian hemisphere, because you're causing massive instability in Europe. But all that started with John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And I know Lindsey is allegedly had a come-to-Jesus moment. I don't believe it. I think he's still got his colors. He's just biding his time, because when you listen to the rhetoric, you know, it's very, very xenophobic and prejudicial and aggressive and Cold War in its attitude towards, I mean, Russia, among other countries. And that's gotten old. There is no more Soviet Union or communist menace. There's the Russian people and country that, of course, had nothing to do with any election meddling, but yet we're still being driven by this military-industrial complex juggernaut, which Hillary was totally behind, this corporatization of the world that is pushing us into conflict. And I see that as a very dangerous dark age to come if we don't stop and start lighting the torches of common sense and illuminating this darkness. Because, look, Dave, you know better than anyone what we have facing us domestically. We've got a population of retarded idiot kids from K through 12 retard education. We've got vaccines up the yin-yang that have turned them into frank walking zombies. And we've got everything from vaccines to just 5G and all sorts of destabilizers in our domestic policy. And then we've got the immigrant hordes coming up through the South American, Central American corridor, like they've been doing through the Mediterranean into Europe. Thank God the president says he's going to launch a military wall to psychologically begin to disconnect that. But we're in a civil war. Make no mistake about it. We're in a civil war. That doesn't mean you grab your gun, your pitchfork, and you act like a prepper. That does mean you prepare, but it doesn't mean you lose your mind and go off the reservation. It means you take control of your town, your community, your police forces, your political leaders. You run for office if need be. You take control of your churches to have them be the moral salt and light that they're supposed to be, not a bunch of effeminate knitting circles that do nothing in this society. And I think that's why we've fallen down so deeply, is because our churches have fallen and become so emasculated that we are getting the political leadership that reflects the weakness of the churches.
Well, Scott, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but I'm wondering out loud, how compromised is the clergy? I mean, I know about NOVAD, I know about the clergy response teams. How deep is that penetration into the church?
Well, I think it's very, very deep, and it's I lived it personally, because I went up into a church in the local area, Community Presbyterian Church in Danville, and a pastor named Tyler Scott and another assistant pastor named Jeremiah Raymer. And I started talking about these political issues. I started talking about the church needing to stand up and become more vital and engaged politically and socially. Had nothing to do with violating the 501c3. I used to write those. I know exactly what those are about. But the horror and the fury and the fear that these men and the other men around them started voicing trying to shut me down and quiet me and say, well, we don't want to get into that. We want to open the door for everybody. And I said, you can't open the door for everybody because then you lose your entire identity. You're to be salt and light so that people can come to the salt and light. And if you lose that, you're good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. Cast not thy pearls before swine. Well, to make a long story short, Dave, they kicked me out of that church. They kicked me out of the men's ministry. And here's a men's group. This is a men's group we were meeting at 6:30 in the morning every week. And they were so horrified and terrified of anything socially, politically dynamic. And I know I've got a soft, you know, Mary had a little lamb personality. I'm a mild-mannered reporter kind of guy. But they threw me out of the men's ministry and said, they even called the police to say, you have to leave. You're no longer welcome. And I said, this is my church. I've been going here since I was a little boy, Community Presbyterian Church. They said, no more. You're too much. And that shows you what the church is in America. When they are so bad that they have to call the police to remove someone who is speaking truth, it reminds me of Jesus being, trying to be thrown over the cliff by the Pharisees. But God does that to show us just how bad the church is, that it is where the abomination of desolation now sits, and that the real Christians, the real body of Christ, we'll have no part with that. We'll have no part with evil. We'll have no part with cowardice. We'll disconnect themselves, disassociate with themselves from these types of clergy response teams and leadership. So I've the Lord has let me through these valleys, and I've just stuck so much gum on the bottom of my shoes as I've walked through that I'm happy to, you know, throw it on the table and share it with you. A lot of it's not pleasant. A lot of it's not appetizing. But we need to know these things to be better men, to be better leaders, to be better Americans and better patriots. We're facing times, Dave, where the liberal, Antifa, Democrat, you know, heathen, they're going to lose their minds worse and worse and worse as time goes on. They're not going to get better. They're not going to find Beethoven. They're not going to abandon their hip-hop rap music mentality. They're going to descend into an almost Planet of the Apes barbarism where they lose their powers of speech and just completely fall into animal mode, especially when Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets taken to her fiery reward. I think you're going to see a meltdown in this country. But thank God conservatives are the ones who know how to talk, know how to shoot, and know how to pray. And I would say we need to really be praying for victory, praying for bold strength and leadership, praying for our president, Trump, to not be sucked into bad advice, bad counsels for men who don't love him and don't love the truth and don't love God, but love their own fantasies of professional aggrandizement and power. And I'm very skeptical of some of these people around Trump because I think they're leading him astray. As Senator Dick Black and I have had many conversations about. And Senator Black, by the way, Dave, you'll be the first person to hear this. On the 60 Minutes interview, McCabe never revealed that he sent 4 FBI agents to Senator Dick Black's office to try and get him in a fake rescue operation in Syria. Why did he do that? Because Andrew McCabe was trying to replace Senator Black with his wife, Jill McCabe.
Oh, out of Virginia? Is that right?
Yes.
I've heard that backstory.
Yeah.
I've heard that, yes.
That's another nexus point. That's another criminal indictment waiting to happen, is Jill McCabe and Terry McAuliffe and Hillary Clinton and Andrew McCabe. Why? Because Senator Dick Black went over to Syria, met with Assad, met with others, found out that it's the Saudis that have been pushing these wars. It is not the Assad regime. It's not the Russians. They're actually protecting Christians. Senator Black told stories of going over to the churches and the Syrian Christians. We're singing Christmas carols with the Syrian, you know, Muslim Alawites. They're not terrorists. They're not suicide bombers. They're not beheaders. It's the Saudi Arabian boy rapists that do all that. Senator Dick Black found that out. He briefed Tulsi Gabbard, who, incidentally, I think she'll be the real competitor against Donald Trump. If we're unlucky, if we're lucky, they'll have a lunatic like Kamala Harris or some of these other Beto O'Rourke fanatics, boy toys, you know, that will be thrown out. But Tulsi Gabbard represents a very powerful message because she's pro-peace. And if Trump doesn't really embrace that and articulate that and fulfill that, he's going to be in various dangerous grounds. If not, it's his to lose. I'll put it that way. This whole election is Trump's to lose. And I don't want him to, but we have to give him counsel to embrace the populist message over the war message, over the military, over Pence, over the advisors, because the American people don't want to go to war. They don't want any smell of it anymore. They've had 20 years of it. And they've had enough. This is war fatigue, and they need cool down period. So picking these fights like Syria and Venezuela, and now potentially Iran, and getting this big Poland conference, and these actions that have been taken against Iran, that's very dangerous because Trump risks his presidency.
He does. There's no question he does. Let's go back to one thing you said about Hillary, ISIS, and McCain. What did Hillary and McCain have to gain by pushing the ISIS agenda forward?
Oh, well, John McCain and the others got $10 million in money cash when they would go over to Libya. That was reported by a lot of the Libyan tribes that had direct communication with the Moriartys, James and Joanne Moriarty. And those are people you've got to have on your show, Dave. You'd love to talk with them. They're from Texas, if you haven't already.
No,
they're
I haven't.
They're oil folk. They were over in Libya. Their story about Libya is it should have a Pulitzer Prize. It should have an Academy Award. It should be on the Hallmark Channel among other Christian broadcasting networks, because this is the story of Christian Texan folk, a man and a wife, who go over to Libya and launch an oil, platform technology company. And then all hell breaks loose when Libya is attacked by Cameron and Sarkozy and Obama, and the black helicopters come in and shoot everything up. The CIA trained Saudis and Qataris come in and, kill kids, chop them up, put them in the refrigerators, do all sorts of horrible things. And, these people escape, and their whole story is escape from Al Qaeda. And the Russians get them out, but their story is powerful. And they wind up going out, getting back to the United States after Benghazi and everything falls apart. And the second part of the story is the failure of the American FBI, CIA, and everybody associated with it, because they were more impressed in trying to shut down the Moriartys from telling their story, telling the truth. And as a result, they've sort of been blacklisted. General Michael Flynn told about the Moriartys being blacklisted, and because they had too much information. But they told a story about what these Western politicians were getting from CIA-backed Saudi mercenaries that were coming in and doing these horrific things. And it became all about money. And Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Hillary Clinton, of course, we know is looking just to turn every nation and people into the little blue winged monkeys that she can cannibalize. But they also got $10 million, and it suddenly became the intoxicant of power. And, you know, it's easy to conquer and destroy a people in a country if you think you're just going to, pluck out the weeds and suddenly you're going to have fruit trees and roses. But the reality is you've got nothing but smoldering ash ruins, where once you had a garden of some weeds, some roses, some fruit trees, and some things we couldn't pronounce. And we've decimated and charred much of the world using this license of democratization and human rights and all that camouflage. And that's what's becoming very offensive, I think, to most people, is because, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, shame on you. Or I should say the reverse, shame on you for fooling me once, but shame on me for fooling me multiple times. We're being fooled multiple times with these people like John Bolton and Pompeo going in saying all sorts of things are going to be rosy when we throw out regime change Maduro. And I don't like socialists or communists ever. I'm a conservative, Republican, capitalist-minded person, Christian. But I don't like the idea of going in and doing regime changes that could end up like Libya. Because then you really could have 10 million people storming the U.S. border. And what does that do to the American citizens in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California? And regardless of what Gavin Newsom and his treasonous agenda is, we're in a very precarious situation when we start doing these regime changes. So I saw it in Libya. It was all about money. I see it in Venezuela. It's all about money. It's a lot about oil. It's not about human rights. It's not about stabilizing people. If a regime change is going to happen, it's got to happen with the other power players that are down there, you know, like Russia and others that have stakes and loans to Venezuela. They're not just going to abandon that. They're not going to abandon their money that's owed to them. So Trump, I think, is smart to that. He'll hopefully temper the warm-minded people. But I'll say this too, Dave. Trump has got a lot of bad stuff around him because one of the things I noticed was the Venezuelan U.S. Embassy, right? The U.S. Embassy down in Venezuela had a gay rainbow flag directly below the stars and stripes at the embassy on the embassy flagpole. Well, what the hell is a rainbow gay parade flag doing flying under the national stars and stripes on a U.S. embassy in Venezuela, a country that doesn't tolerate that stuff very well? What are we doing representing that is a Trump Republican diplomatic value, gay flags under our embassies? I mean, I was blown out of my seat when I saw that. I thought, who the hell's running Washington, Mr. Trump? That's the biggest, worst mistake you can do. You're going to isolate your base. You're going to lose voters for that. Yeah, maybe this stuff hasn't come out yet, but you got to be real careful about the optics. It's all about the optics and the public relations, because you may be, you know, pursuing a plan, but you have to be cognizant and sensitive to how the plan is twisted and distorted by the mainstream media and how the American people are perceiving this. You're in campaign mode for 2020. You've got to be the populist president. Everything he does is for the American people, through the American people. National emergencies are for the American people, to protect the citizens of this country. And, you know, I think he's got that in his heart. But John Bolton and all these neocon advisors sometimes pull them in the Paul Ryan direction of, well, once we get the vote, then we just run the country like we want. Everybody else is stupid. We know how the mechanics of and the engineering of the country and the agenda needs to go. Well, the American people don't agree with that. That's why they threw out the bums before, and Trump needs to be recognized that they will do the same to him, because the American people are very fickle. That's why we lost the House in November, in my opinion, is because Trump was not bold enough to say, we're leaving Syria, stick with me, vote with me, vote Republican, and here's what I promise you. We'll leave Syria, we'll leave Afghanistan, we'll establish peace with Russia and with Iran and with China and North Korea. But don't vote Democrat or it'll scuttle the whole plan. If he had said that, if he had made the November elections about peace and getting us out of the wars, he would have won. But because he didn't, people, I think, lost a little sense of their magnetism and their trajectory, and they fell into not voting or voting Democrat. I really think that's why we lost the House. Now, hopefully he can learn from that and pick it up. But war is not going to get him another election. He's got to be the populist peace candidate. That's what Tulsi Gabbard, mind you, is basing her entire campaign on. So what is the American people going to value? Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke and their agenda of tearing down immigration walls and going to war and all this stuff, or Tulsi Gabbard on the platform of peace and stability and no war? And Trump, okay, well, where do you stand? And again, it's his to lose, but hopefully he's smart enough to you know, come back to his first love. That was the promise of to the American people. And like Jason Chaffetz had said last night, the American people are never wrong. The American people are never wrong, because that they make the law and they codify it when they vote and they pull the handle and check the box. So we always have to come back to, what do the American people want? They want peace with Russia. They want normalized relations. They want to stop the wars. They don't want any more Libya regime changes that cause massive migrant refugees up into Europe or elsewhere. China is the real problem. China is the real long-term geopolitical competitor. And you're not going to defeat China if you have China and Russia and Iran against us. You have to win the hearts and minds of the Russians to leverage power over China. And you would be wise to win the Iranians, but that is a big challenge, because there's so much animus towards Iran, trying to blame them as being a terrorist organization, and they really not. They're really not, Dave. I mean, I've been over there. I've seen the people. I've compared them to Saudi Arabia. They have a lot of pride. They're Persian, but they don't do what the Saudi Arabians do, which is Wahhabism, terrorism, beheading, raping, pillaging, and advancing a Wahhabi agenda to control and dominate the world. They are the ones who are seeking to export with a fascist fury militant Islam. It is not the Iranians. They may have some beefs and fights with Israel because of what happens in Lebanon. They may be in Syria because they were invited. The Russians are there because they were invited. But largely to stop the House of Cards being pulling down, which was the Assad regime. That's why Iran was there. That's why Russia was there, because they knew if Assad and Syria fell, you would lose the natural resources and you'd have a major human catastrophe. Even Turkey woke up to that and has switched sides in favor of stability instead of disintegration.
This is the second time in 2 days. We just had a bit of a cutout there. I think you're absolutely right the way that you've tied these events together. I've heard it in other circles, but let's get right to the end game. Let's take all these facts, let's bundle them, and let's come to some kind of where you think they're going with this direction. And is it what Ed Snowden warned about?
Well, the police state is certainly there, and yes, the police state can only exist when the weakness of the American mind permeates, and it is the weakness and the softness and the submission that the American people have allowed the full surveillance spectrum to uphold. Look at what the Department of Justice and the FBI have done to Roger Stone and Paul Manafort and sure. Papadopoulos and all of these people. This really, we have to come back to the domestic surge of this domestic civil war in this country that was started by James Comey, Mueller, Andrew McCabe, all of the people in the Mueller investigation, the FBI, the Department of Justice, John Brennan at the CIA, all of these clowns I had reported in Shell Game in 2012 when they were doing the Swiss bank terrorist financing and global militarization of militant Islam. I reported that in 2012. I reported it to Romney and his people before 2012. He did absolutely nothing, and his people didn't. So Romney is, of course, a traitor and a loser, yes. And he deserves to be. And Obama should never. If they had broken this story, Dave, about Shell Game and all of this stuff in 2012, Obama would be hanging from a pole under a noose of treason, if not in jail. But instead, they didn't, probably because Romney was a big UBS banker. Investor. And as a result, Obama got in and he did the second surveillance state. And that's what Ed Snowden left the country for. I don't get it too much into Snowden because I know a little bit more than I can share because of the legal issues. But Snowden reported, and Snowden and WikiLeaks really, I think, are two of the greatest entities in this world for truth and transparency and light. And I think Trump recognizes that. And, you know, the deep state and the death of Seth Rich and Bill Binney and the NSA guys who have briefed Trump and briefed Pompeo about the reality of Seth Rich's death and the absence of Russia having any collusion with the election. They didn't download from the DNC servers. That was Seth Rich. That was an internal download that WikiLeaks simply reported. All of that is verified. They don't steal secrets. They report what's given to them by whistleblowers and others who are seeing crimes and violations of the Constitution being done, and they're standing up and blowing the whistle and raising a flag and shining a light, and the American people need to side with the whistleblowers and the light showers, or they're going to side with the dark slave master oppressors that are continuing these wars, throwing their children and grandchildren into the meat shredder and, breaking them down into this subservient society. There's only two ways to go. You can't be in the middle. So I'm on the side of the light shiners, the whistleblowers, and the patriots that stand up and say, no, we will not surrender to this. So there's some major, happenings in this domestic sphere. I think Andrew McCabe and all these clowns are eventually going to be prosecuted. We've given the Trump administration the material to do that. I think this is going to translate over the next 6 months to a year. All of the charges against Manafort and Stone should be appealed and thrown out as fruit of the poisonous tree, because you cannot pursue You cannot pursue an investigation based on a fraudulent FISA warrant and a fraudulent investigation that was intentionally set up as a PSYOP. All of this was done to trigger official government actions. Well, that was done with malice. That was done with bad faith. There's all sorts of legal terms you could get into. But it was not done to honor the integrity of the U.S. Constitution. It was meant to disintegrate, to undermine the Constitution. And that's what McCabe and Rosenstein did when they're talking about the 25th Amendment and these other things. So Trump has to recognize he needs a merciless attorney general to step in and prosecute everybody associated with this and reveal everything associated with this and stop focusing on the foreign policy issues. That the foreign policy will take care of itself. It is the domestic policy. He needs to clean up our own house in Washington, our own borders, get our own people inspired, rile them up for 2020, let the foreign policy take care of itself, and fire these old men generals like the guy who was on Levin last night on Fox News, General Keane, and these dinosaurs that are existing in a Cold War mentality, these professional warmongers. Well, when you're a four-star general, everything becomes a war. Every meeting, every political activity, every economic deal, every single thing becomes a strategy or a tactic as part of a full-spectrum military dominance, and that is perpetual war. When people say, well, we haven't destroyed Al-Qaeda, you never will. You never will extinguish people who don't like you, especially when you destroy their families and their cultures and their towns. They're going to dislike you even more, and it's going to spread. That's why the rise of Wahhabism and ISIS and Daesh and all this militancy has spread and grown, because of our failure to win the hearts and minds and our failure to get off of this avalanche that started on September 11, 2001, which all of the scientific data and all of the material, when you talk to people like Barbara Honegger and Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett and Alan Zaprosky and Richard Gage, which I've done, all of these people confirm 9/11 was the greatest fabricated false flag, scientifically engineered attack in the history of civilization. It's the greatest crime in the history of civilization. Robert David Steele and myself and an associate of others had put together a book, 9/11, a report to the president, and he needs to really understand that that book is written with absolute solid scientific integrity, and it is why the deep state is becoming so desperate, because they realize if soldiers like me, who took an oath to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies, get out and really inspire other soldiers and former soldiers that we were attacked by our own people to a large degree that allowed this to happen for long-term political agenda purposes, when the American soldiers get out and really understand this, and the American people really understand this, you will have, I think, a great uprising like we've never had before, because the American people have part of that in their character. They realize wrongs need to be corrected, and activities that flow from wrongful actions need to cease. So I think the wrongful action of 9/11 that was self-inflicted, the absence of a plane at the Pentagon, which I know personally because I was there the next day, these other things are going to be exposed. And when they are, America will have a great cleansing and a political transformation, I think.
The problem a lot of people have, and I admit I get caught up in some of this too, is the low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, should have already been prosecuted.
Absolutely.
Comey exposed the 33,000 emails. It's hanging out there. There's no defense for Clinton. I mean, it's easy pickings, and I'm just frustrated that Trump hasn't acted on this.
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about behind the scenes and the four-dimensional chess, and is Hillary really in Gitmo? Is she dead? Is Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and all of these people arrested for the child pedophilia, which seems to be on Wiener's laptop, and Podesta's emails, which was really a language about sexual child exploitation with the use of hot dogs and pizza coming into the White House, which everybody knows is impossible because you can't bring in food from outside sources. So you don't fly in hot dogs or pizza from Chicago. You fly in little children to be sexually exploited. This was a lot of the language that people like Jim Fetzer and others who have done the Pizzagate analysis and a lot of former child, you know, pedophilia law enforcement have looked at. There's a whole school of thought. There's a subterranean legal political agenda and actions that are being taken that we don't see or hear. The media doesn't touch it, or they don't know about it. But the deep state, you know, Q and all that goes into that. I try and stay away from that, sort of a requirement to imagine or to, you know, just because we don't see it. We don't see it. We don't hear it. So we have to stick to what we see and we hear, because that's what the mass, that's what your neighbors, think and see and hear. What do your neighbors see about Trump, about what's going on in the world? And it's not about the stuff I just mentioned prior. So we have to always, you know, guide our political language and our communication. But what is actually going on before our eyes and ears, with a sensitivity to the potential that there are deep state prosecutions. And there were talk about Sessions being a good guy and doing things and prosecuting people. I don't know. I didn't have a faith in Sessions. I sent him a copy of my material in 2012 and 2013. He did nothing. I did it to Pompeo, too. He did nothing. I did it to all sorts of congressmen and Saxby Chambliss and Jason Chaffetz and Trey Gowdy. All of these guys, I got my material. And I'm not a truck driver or a mechanic. I'm a terrorist finance guy with a PhD in political theory, and I did terrorism, and I know what I'm talking about. No one touched me, Dave. So, you know, that tells me, okay, if you're doing a secret agenda with this stuff, that's fine. But if you're not, if you're a coward, or if you're a parasite, or if you're doing bad stuff, which is the same as doing nothing, then I'm going to come after you. Then I'm going to crush you and prosecute you and skin you alive and hang you from the tallest tree for the American public to see and say, this is what I sent this guy, and this is what he did, and your kids are dead because of it. Your neighbor's dead because of it. Your money is gone because of it. These wars have destroyed our reputation as a country because of it, because they did nothing with this material. Look no further than Dianne Feinstein. When I sent her and Senator Bill Nelson, because remember, I sent this to over like 100 senators and congressmen, my book Shell Game, a military whistleblower report. Bill Nelson sent a letter to Senator Feinstein chastising me, saying, who is this guy? How did he get this clearance? Blah, blah, blah. Now, she was the senator in charge of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and she did nothing with my material. Next thing I know, after he sends that, I get Michael Isikoff of NBC News and Tom Hamburger of the Washington Post coming down and interviewing me. Mm-hmm. They're CIA assets, because they are also directly tied with the Christopher Steele memo. That was NBC News... Michael Isikoff wrote the story about the Michael Steele or the Christopher Steele story originally, when you Google it. And Tom Hamburger was the guy who wrote the story exposing allegedly Donald Trump Jr.'s connection to WikiLeaks. So these are deep state operatives. And they interviewed me for 2 hours and said, why do you think the CIA would do this, Mr. Bennett? Despite the fact I had never mentioned the CIA to them in my debriefing about Birkenfeld and Swiss banks. So Dianne Feinstein and Bill Nelson and all of these people in the Senate and the Congress really need to be prosecuted for this. And the documents tell the story. And you present the documents and the timeline to a jury of American citizens, they're going to rediscover what it means to be American patriot, what it means to be a Minuteman.
I hope so. You know, I want to run this by you, because you said we have to react to what we see and hear. And let me tell you what I saw and what I heard. And then I went and did research, and it confirmed in my mind. And I'm warning you, Scott, this is going to sound like I've lost my mind and I'm being playing a game of Trivial Pursuit. But I'm watching Romney a couple of months ago give what I really assumed was a threatening speech to Trump. He didn't threaten his life directly, but he came out and said, you shouldn't, and this and that, and you've done that, and just chastised him. And he had done the same thing during the primary, the 2016 primary, with the same backdrop, which I'll get to in just a second, the same exact backdrop. So I took the backdrop, and I went and looked for his senatorial campaign appearances. And could I find evidence of that backdrop just by going through media reports, pictures, Reuters, whatever? And I couldn't, not one time. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I couldn't find it. The backdrop was the Hinckley Institute, H-I-N-C-K-L-E-Y. And who was Hinckley? Who the Hinckley family? Well, they produced a son that shot Ronald Reagan. And when you see that when he goes after Trump, the Hinckley Institute banner is in the background, and I can't find it in his campaign appearances, I have to take that as a direct assassination threat to the president. I know it sounds like I'm reaching, but Scott, I researched this for about 4 man-hours, and I couldn't find any discrepancy in my thinking.
Well, your instincts are accurate, I think. Everything is a psyop. Everything's a psychological operation. Look, you see it in everything, Dave. You see it in the videos that we have for our children. At 2, 3, 4 years of age, they're watching, you know, the nursery rhymes, and they've got gay rainbow flags and purple creatures and hermaphroditic looking characters.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear it and see it from my nieces and such that begin to regurgitate the language that the schools are giving these kids, which is, you know, pro-homosexuality, pro-transgenderism. The breakdown of the sexual identity is the destruction of a society, and it's a devilish, diabolical agenda. But it is the first level that we need to really guard against. And sexual integrity and the integrity of the family is the core of our identity and our society. So everything's a psyop. And when you're talking about a flag, you know, in the Hinckley Institute, which was connected too to George Bush Senior, the vice president of Reagan. There is speculation. I mean, Jim Fetzer's done a lot of good work in this, that the Reagan's assassination was actually tied with George H.W. Bush.
Yes.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I've talked to Jim about that.
And you know, that's why we have to trust no one, verify everything. When we see these things, red lights go up. Romney will forever be, in my mind, a traitor because of his treason by doing nothing about Shell Game and the report that went to him. And I had people on the outside contacting the RNC and Romney's people in 2012 before this happened. General Michael Flynn knew about me because he wrote about it in his September 28th DIA report, because we had submitted it to General James Mattis. And I had worked at Central Command, so Mattis knew me. So all of this was simply confirming, hey, the Birkenfeld Swiss banks accounts that they have thrown this man in jail for have been used by Hillary Clinton and are being used by the Saudis to finance mercenary regime change operations. And a terrorist finance analyst named Scott Bennett is confirming this. Everything just did nothing. Nothing happened. That's probably one of the reasons they came after Flynn. But, you know, we expect, I guess when we've been through the fire, we expect people to have the same, kind of desensitization to flame that we do. We've been through the fires of suffering. We come out on the other side stronger, and we kind of forget that other people are fearful of fire. Not me, not Birkenfeld, not Snowden, not others who've been through it. Julian Assange has been the longest to be imprisoned of all of us. And Julian Assange is, I think a great hero that needs to be pardoned and needs to be brought over and testify to the Senate as he was invited to, and tell his story. And I mean, where are the leftist liberals who supposedly used to value truth and freedom and used to value individual freedom above a state government agency, 1984 Orwellian sort of Brave New World oppression of free thought? Where are these people? Well, they're dead in the closed-minded fascism of environmental dogma, environmental religion, political correctness as a religion, self-hatred, and you see that through people like Ortizio Cortez and others who are mindlessly embracing just a lot of utopian ideas that have no practical reality of ever being achieved. Because it's like saying, I'm going to take a fish and stick wings on it, and it's going to fly. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not what nature intends. And nor does nature intend human beings to live and prosper in a socialist, communist, oppressed state, because it may take 70 years, but the human being breaks out of that, because property and the freedom to express yourself and the freedom to associate and the freedom to travel are all valuable natural gifts from God. And that's what the founding fathers recognized in the Constitution. They didn't give us any rights. They recognized the rights that God gives human beings.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. Well, Scott, we're near the end of this segment, and I wish this could go on because I feel like we've just touched the surface. This has been fascinating, tying together past with present. I'd like to give an opportunity to you to tell our listening audience how they can follow more of your good work.
Just go to shellgamewhistleblower.com, and my email and at Facebook and YouTube is up there. And you can go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and Google Shell Game by Scott Bennett, and the book's up there. But easiest way is to go to shellgamewhistleblower.com, and it's got the reports and the videos and everything up there.
Last question. Any idea when we're going to see a significant prosecution?
I think this year you're going to see it, because it needs to happen to rally the base in favor of Trump. He needs to win the libertarian-minded people, the Rand Paul people, the evangelical Christian base. He's given them enough material with the embassy move to Jerusalem and a lot of the rhetoric that's been used. I think the Christian evangelicals are on Trump's side. He needs to say, look, if you don't vote for me, you're going to be put into a cage by these liberal fascists because they're so angry at the success I've had. So he needs to warn them to stay with him. It's a matter of life and death. But he needs to win the libertarian people, and he does that by prosecuting these crimes.
Absolutely.
And now he's got the moral standard to do it, because the Russiagate thing has disappeared. It never was to begin with. But now we see that. We see Andrew McCabe. We see all of these government actors betraying the Constitution, and he simply needs to make that platform louder and louder. He does it good when he gets up. He does regurgitate it, but he needs to say it over and over and over and over and over again at every speech, that America is in a civil war between the elite bureaucrats in the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA, and the American people, and he's with the American people. He's the nationalist supporting them.
That is the good message, and it's one that he does need to repeat. I agree. It's something that we're saying for him right now, and he needs to step up to the plate. Scott, always a pleasure to have you on, a distinct privilege. Thank you so much for joining us on the Common Sense Show.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.